Well, welcome to Jeremiah 42, verses 7 to 22. We're drawing near to the end of this great series in the wonderful book of Jeremiah. And the question that we're asking today is, will we trust God even when God's word challenges or commands us in ways that we don't like or don't expect? That question arises over and over. We know that Jeremiah lives in extreme times. These were some of the worst and some of the most wondrous times in the history of Israel. But who do you trust when life is extreme? When our pleas to God are urgent, time and again, our attention is drawn to those questions in Jeremiah. In 42:7 to 22, we have a plea for mercy. The NIV translates it a petition. And we have a prophetic word or answer from God through the prophet. So a plea and a prophecy. Jerusalem has been destroyed. Large numbers of people have been killed or taken into exile. Perhaps 4 years have now passed since that destruction, and the puppet governor of Judah, Gedaliah, is murdered. Those who remain are frightened. What shall we do? Where shall we go? Who will care for our children? What is our future? These are terrifying times. Now, we're living in very challenging times ourselves at the moment, but this is extreme for Jeremiah and the people of God in times of chaos and uncertainty. The army officers, including Johanan and Jezaniah, and all the people from the least to the greatest, we're told, they come to Jeremiah with a plea for mercy. A plea for mercy to take to God and come back with God's answer to their pleading. This is urgent. They tell Jeremiah that they will obey the Lord. What he tells them to do, they will be obedient, so they say. But they have a preconceived mind on what they want to do. They want to go and live in Egypt. They want to leave and be safe in Egypt. And so when Jeremiah brings his prophecy in verses 9 to 22, they are not pleased. God's word is clear. Don't go to Egypt, Jeremiah tells them. The Lord has said, stay in the land of Judah. If you stay, you will be built up. You will be planted. You will not be uprooted. Stay in the land. If you go to Egypt, you will be uprooted and destroyed. That's not what they wanted to do. That's not what they were hoping for from the Lord. And so in 43:1 and following, we read the response from Azariah, Johanan, and the people. They are insolent. You are lying, they say to the prophet. We don't believe you. And they go to Egypt. They take Baruch with them. They take Jeremiah with them. And Jeremiah's life story finishes there. We have no more information about him after these events. And as far as we know, this faithful, wonderful prophet died in Egypt with these rebellious people who left in disobedience to God's word. There are four focal points in the book of Jeremiah that feature in this chapter and throughout that I want to draw our attention to. Two of them we've talked a lot about. They are the focal points of uprooting and planting. But the other two is this way that God deals with individuals like Jeremiah, like Ebed-Melech, like Nebuchadnezzar, and how God deals with nations and empires. So think of these perhaps as the four poles or the four directions in which Jeremiah keeps going: uprooting and planting, individuals and nations. And I love Jeremiah because there's so much that's biographical about this individual. But then there's prophecies to nations like Moab and Ammon and Egypt and Babylon. So uprooting and planting in the lives of individuals and nations. And we might say that that is, in essence, what the book is about. It's about God's uprooting and planting in the lives of individuals and nations. That's what God does. And that is what God continues to do. When we think about this theme of uprooting, we've referred to it a number of times. We think of things that need to be torn up or judged or brought to an end, put away. When we think of planting, we think of growing, regenerating, new life, saving, flourishing things. Things that need to continue, hope, future, joy, life. Individuals like Jeremiah are caught up in God's intent to uproot and plant, but not as lone individuals, but with responsibility, with participation in God's purposes for nations like Israel, like Egypt, like Syria, all the nations and empires that are mentioned in the book. So there are many reflections and challenges for us around these four themes. And before I come to the life of Jeremiah for a while, I want to reflect on some of the questions we need to ask ourselves around uprooting and planting in the lives of individuals and nations. A question I've been asking myself this week in preparation is, what needs to come to an end in my life? What do I need to have done with? What do I need to see uprooted under God's judgment, by God's grace? What needs to finish? What do I need to put away? That's a great question to be asking today. And conversely, what needs to flourish in my life? What do I need to adopt? What do I need to grow in? What do I need to put on and see flourish and grow? Why don't we agree with each other to talk with one another about that this week? What are you uprooting? What are you planting? What are you putting off? What are you putting on? What needs to come to an end in our lives and what needs to flourish? Make that a conversation with each other this week. How is God challenging us in these terms to live as a disciple of Jesus in our times and places? And what part does God want you to have as a witness to God's kingdom in Australia and to the nations? So we don't see our lives as merely alone and individual. We see them as caught up in the big purposes of God. And I want to come back to that towards the end of the sermon again. It's an awesome privilege and responsibility to be a disciple of Jesus, uprooting and planting in the lives of individuals and nations. But let me turn now to the life of Jeremiah. I love Jeremiah, and his life is such a challenge as we read the book of Jeremiah in Scripture. He's a Levite from a small town called Anathoth, about 5 kilometres northeast of Jerusalem. And he becomes a prophet when he's perhaps 18 or 19 years of age. As the book closes, he has been a prophet for more than 40 years, and he has seen 5 kings of Judah come and go. He's seen some of the best of times when Josiah was king, but many of the worst of times as well. The Lord told him not to marry, not to have children. He has experienced invasion, the horrendous famine, and then destruction of Jerusalem. He's seen bloodshed and betrayal and mayhem. He has wept, been thrown into a cistern full of mud, carted off to Egypt in this passage, and as far as we know, he dies there. But he has delivered messages for God to Israel, to the nations of his day. He has been prayerful and persevered, trusted and waited. He's been courageous and faithful. In Jeremiah 20, he laments that he has become a laughingstock. He's mocked. But then listen to these words that he says in Jeremiah 20. He says, "If I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name," he's speaking of the Lord, "if I say, or I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, in my heart there is, as it were, a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I am weary with holding it in, and I cannot." Look at the passion of that. This is a man who's been convicted by God, and he holds this fire in his heart, and he's got to let it out. He's got to talk. He's got to prophesy. He's got to witness. He's passionate. He's caught up in God's grand purposes for the world. Why is that? How is it that this individual from this tiny village of Anathoth gets caught up in such a challenging life? Well, in Jeremiah, it's because of the word of the Lord. And Jeremiah, the book says on more than 20 times, at least 24, the word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord is the reason for the book. And in the book, the word of the Lord is like a wind, like a storm, like a fire. It's dynamic. The word of the Lord came. It changes things. It uproots and plants. We've become very casual about the word of the Lord. But in Jeremiah, the word of the Lord comes like a storm, like a fire. It's dynamic. And in Jeremiah, the word of the Lord is not an it. It's a person speaking. It's the way God created. It's the living, speaking God who comes with a word. Comes with a word to judge and bless. Comes with a word to uproot and plant. The word of the Lord gives to the life of a young person from Anathoth significance and meaning, a task, participation in nations, destiny, influence. With all of the challenge and responsibility, suffering and blessing, struggle and hope that that entails. In Jeremiah 1, 4 and 5, we read, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. I set you apart, the Lord says, before you were born. Jeremiah's response in 1:6-8 is, alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I'm too young. The Lord said to me, do not say, I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them. I am with you and will rescue you. That's what happens when the word of the Lord comes. The word of the Lord came. And the word of the Lord is arguably the main character in the book of Jeremiah. On the move, in Israel, in Egypt, among the nations, the word of the Lord comes. Concerning the word of the Lord, Jeremiah writes in 15:16, your words were found and I ate them. Your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. Jeremiah loves the word of the Lord. His heart is renewed by the word of the Lord. You know, looking beyond the word of Jeremiah now to the full scriptures, it's interesting that Jeremiah's name is only used three times in the New Testament writings. And all three are in the book of Matthew. 2:17, 16:14, 27:9, we read about Jeremiah named specifically only by Matthew. Why is that? Well, Matthew's book is about the Jesus who fulfills prophecy. The Jesus who is authoritative as the great prophet above all prophets. When Jesus asks his disciples, who do people say that I am? Some say he's Jeremiah. And Matthew tells us that prophecies of Jeremiah are fulfilled in the events of the life of Jesus. There is no question that Matthew's portrait of Jesus is shaped very much by Jeremiah. Jesus sees himself in the light of the great prophet Jeremiah. He sees himself as fulfilling Jeremiah's prophecies, as the greater prophet that Jeremiah anticipated. That's quite wonderful for this young man from Anathoth, that Jesus from Bethlehem, Jesus Messiah, sees himself as fulfilling the prophecies of Jeremiah and sees himself in line with the great prophet Jeremiah. Moreover, the Apostle Paul sees himself as shaped by Jeremiah. Paul tells his Galatian churches in chapter 1, verse 15, God set me apart before I was born, just like Jeremiah, and called me by his grace to preach to the Gentiles. So here is Paul seeing himself with a prophetic task in line with Jeremiah, called by God from the womb, set apart before he was born. Isn't it remarkable that Jeremiah the prophet is fulfilled by Jesus Messiah and then echoed by Paul the apostle in his preaching ministry to the nations? That's what Jeremiah was called to do, uproot and plant in Israel and the nations, and now Jesus and then Paul. And what about us? You know, we're living in an era where many people are struggling to understand their identity. They believe that we need to, as individuals in the 21st century, name ourselves and construct our own identities. We don't know who we are, we make it up because we're lone individuals, disconnected and isolated from any meaningful history. That's not true, according to Scripture, certainly not evidenced in the book of Jeremiah. I am not insignificant. Our lives are not meaningless. We are not defined by being alone, constructing our identity without a word from the Lord. And we are not defined by shame or guilt or failure. Human beings in Christ are chosen. We have a part to play in the purposes of God for the renewal of all things, the creation and the nations. If the word of the Lord has come to us and we have attended and turned and trusted and come to Jesus, then some remarkable uprooting and planting has already occurred in our lives and needs to continue occurring. We are in the same marvelous heritage and story as was Jeremiah by way of anticipation, as was Paul by way of reflection, as is Jesus by way of fulfillment. Perhaps today out of this sermon, it would be great if all of us were to again rediscover the privilege, the challenge, the responsibility that we have to find ourselves in God's story. And we may be saying to ourselves today, I couldn't go through what Jeremiah went through. Jeremiah said, I'm too young. Maybe we're saying, well, I'm too old, I'm too weak, I'm too guilty, I'm too whatever it is. And the Lord would say, I will be with you, as he said to Jeremiah. I will rescue you. I will strengthen you, as he said to Jeremiah. As a church, in the light of Jeremiah and the full scriptures, we long to be a community into which the word of the Lord keeps coming. The word of the Lord came. The word of the Lord came. And as we receive that word and attend to that word and walk with Jesus and are filled with the Spirit and are obedient as disciples, as the word of the Lord comes, it will uproot, it will plant, it will put some things to death, and it will raise up and give life to some things. Let me challenge each of us today, to be people into whose life the word of the Lord keeps coming. The word of the Lord came. And if you're saying, well, what should I do? Let me give you some suggestions. First of all, be a person in Christ who starts praying for the nations, who takes time each day to pray for nations. Get involved with Operation World's prayer lists and prayer information, or join up, sign up with Voice of the Martyrs or one of the other organizations that puts us in touch with nations. Start gazing on the world and claiming God's grace and promises for nations. See your individual life as participating in God's purposes for nations. It's exciting. Read the Bible so that the word of the Lord will come to you each day, and with a friend or your husband or wife or partner, Read the scriptures, family members, friends, when you go walking at meal times. Read the scriptures together. Get to know Jesus. And may the word of the Lord keep coming to you through scripture. Join a Bible study group. And may the word of the Lord come to us through our home groups and our study groups. We're all in need of that. I'm part of a group on a Friday afternoon with men, and each afternoon when we open up scripture, we've been looking at Hebrews lately, the word of the Lord comes. It's challenging. Some things need to be uprooted. Some things need to be planted as a result of the word of the Lord coming. Hang around with people in whose lives the word of the Lord comes. People who know Jesus, people who love God. There's so many practical things that we can do, daily practices that we can do, so that the word of the Lord will come, uprooting and planting in the lives of individuals and nations. That's God's calling on the church, that we are those people who participate in God's purposes of uprooting and planting in the lives of individuals and nations. May that be our commitment in these churches, in our times and places.